Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Yeah, but it's just not useful for reaching beyond that. Oh, hello. I'm Sabri Benishor, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Mariel Segarra. Thank you to everyone for joining us this Friday for Economics on Tap, whether you're on the YouTube live stream or listening to the podcast. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Today we are going to do the news, and we are going to play a round of half empty, half full. But first, Mariel, what are you drinking?
I love that you just changed the name of the game on your first Friday here. Half it's now called Half Empty, Half Full, Drew. No, I'm just trolling you. I have to decide, actually, because I went to the store and I got some, like, healthy seltzer. It's this Tropical Punch Sparkling Tonic, which, like, is supposedly going to help my digestion or something. And then I have Tres Clavos, which is a rum that has real mango in it. It's from San Juan. I got it when I was there. Wow. So I don't know. Which one do you think I should have?
The rum. Mm-hmm. Just on its own.
Yeah, I feel like the rum. It's Friday, right? Okay, I'm going to have the rum. I'm going to try it out. It's I'm excited to finally get to the bottom and eat the mangoes. Is that too much of a pour? Like, I don't know anymore. That seems like good. Is that one drink?
Sure. That's one drink, yeah. I mean, it could also be like a fourth of a drink for some people, but I'd say that's good. Yeah.
Okay. For some unnamed people.
I'm drinking Diet Red Bull out of a pottery cup that I made.
Cool. All right, you ready to do the news?
Yeah, ready.
You go first.
Okay. All right. Well, so first of all, I wanted to just revisit our old friend Elon Musk and his quest to buy Twitter. So Twitter just threw up what's called a poison pill, which is basically they're like, oh, you want to buy our company? Well, we're going to just issue so many shares at such a discount price that your percentage is now worth nothing. And you will have to buy so many shares now to take us over that it will be ruinous for you. Dare you to try it. So that's the latest in this dumb drama of, you know, this rich man who wants to buy Twitter.
I love hearing you explain
stay
things.
Stay tuned.
You always do it with such verve. It will be ruinous for you.
Ruinous, yeah. I just want to use the word ruinous. But that was just, I just want to touch on that. But the other thing that I saw that I thought was cool was that the labor market is so tight right now. The odds of getting laid off are at their lowest they have been since like the 1960s. And that's cool, right? That is good for people who would like to maintain their jobs. But this is what this made me think of. Think about what that means. Think about how many like toxic bosses, how many like horrific coworkers, how many people out there that the company and everyone in it has just been dying to fire, dying to get rid of, but they can't because the labor market is so effed right now. And I just wonder how many people out there are now tolerating like horrific work situations because the labor market is so tight. That is just my dark thought on this good
I really
news.
Wish you wouldn't subtweet me to my face. Very unkind.
Oh my God,
no, you're right. You're totally right. But your mind does go to really dark places. That's like when I saw that, I was like, oh, great. That's awesome for people. And you were like, think about the evil humans who I now have to continue to work with.
No, there's nobody like that at Marketplace. I love my I love my coworkers. At this time.
At this time.
I'm kidding. No, we obviously have a really good team. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, lots of good people.
But, yeah, what is your news thing?
Yeah, so also on the workplace front, California is considering a bill that would institute a four-day work week. And specifically, not 40 hours not 40 hours over 4 days, but 32 hours over 4 days. And you would just have to get the same amount of work done, supposedly. It's interesting because I do think that there's a lot of, especially in the pre-pandemic times when a lot more people were going into the office, you're not usually working 8 hours straight. There's a lot of, I don't know, walking into Sabri's office,
watering the plants,
going to get lunch, and it takes an hour to just like walk to the wait on the line at whatever the local chain
is.
Everyone's
and then, getting lunch.
Yeah, finally getting back. And so I do think that it has made the pandemic, working from home has made some people more efficient. Maybe it's the reality is you could get your job done in 32 hours. But we'll see. A lot of companies are not in favor of this. You can understand why, especially in the tech industry. A lot of workers also say that they really can't do their jobs in 32 hours. One thing to know is that this would apply to larger employers. I think it was 500 employees or more. And I bet there would be lots of exemptions. But, you know, it's like with California, they pass laws all the time that later become a model for the rest of the country, whether it's because other states are inspired by them or because companies are like, we don't want to have to deal with a patchwork of laws on environmental regulations or emissions standards or something. So now we're just all going to follow California's lead. So it, I wonder, if it could be set a new
like
tone.
Can companies do that now if they want to, though? Like, I mean, like, why do they need a law? Why do they need a law? Like,
oh, the law would be to require them to do it.
Oh, no, I don't want to work like 20% harder for 4 days. I don't think I don't know. Do you want that? What would you do?
I mean, there would be four really intense days, but I already feel like our days are pretty intense. I think that we would have, despite what I said earlier about just walking into your office and you know, killing time. But like when we're on deadline, we just have to be on deadline and we have to get the story done. And it's not, I think there would have to be exemptions for companies like ours, unfortunately, because the news doesn't really stop. I don't know. Or maybe they just have to schedule differently. But would I want it? Kind of. I think I would. I don't know if it's really doable, but I would love the idea of every weekend being a three-day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
It could be. So I don't know. But I don't know how doable it is. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that tax day is Monday. So I just recently did my taxes. I definitely wait until the last minute. So no shame if you did, but you're supposed to file your taxes by Monday or file an extension. And if you file by mail, you probably shouldn't this year unless if you're waiting for a refund because the IRS is super backed up. So if you do fill out the forms, you can do it on the IRS website for free and file them electronically for free, which is what I do.
Oh, that's a good tip.
I highly recommend.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, it's called IRS free file or something like that. Fillable forms. Oh. No, that's what it is, the fillable forms.
Oh. I used a tax software program thing. I did mine like last week. They were complicated because whatever, I have like pottery teaching income, so it just slightly complicates things. But also, there's something called a capital gains distribution, which I learned about, which is when if you invest in mutual funds, if for whatever reason they suddenly sell a bunch of stock, they are required to pass the proceeds on to you without your asking. and you have to pay taxes on that. So let's say, like, normally, you know, a mutual fund, if they give you a dividend, it's like programmed to automatically reinvest in the mutual fund so you don't ever see it.
This is classic happens. New York, by the way, the fire truck.
Oh, can you hear that?
Just can't help it. Yeah, but that's fine. It's constant, fine. It's just classic. Like, there's always a fire truck in the background.
Anyway, if they sell shares, they give them to you. You don't even know that you got them, and then suddenly you have to pay taxes on them. So I owed a chunk of change that I did not see coming. But I did learn about capital gains distributions, and apparently you're supposed to open the mail that they send you over the course of the year to know that it's coming, so you could have done something about it, but I didn't, so I owed money.
Now you've got me worried that I've gotten something like that, because I do my own taxes, and I'm always like, did I get this exactly right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just do your taxes. Try to remember by Monday.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to play the game.
Yeah. Yes. The half full, half empty.
Half empty, half full.
Sorry, half empty. Half full.
It's half full, half empty. I'm just messing with you.
Oh.
You'll never remember it now.
So how do we do that?
Well, Drew is going to present us with some, because this is your first time, right? Drew is going to present us with some stuff that happened this week, and we will say whether we're half full or half empty on it. And I do feel like I have some confusion around this game because people play it differently. And sometimes it's like, I'm half full means I want this thing to happen. And sometimes I'm half full means I think this thing is going to happen. Or sometimes I'm half empty just means I don't want to talk about this or I'm bored.
All right. Well, I'll specify.
So we'll see how this goes.
These are all acceptable ways of playing half full, half empty.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
Speaking of tax day, are you half full or half empty on doing your taxes early?
I guess I think it's great if you do them early. I'm half full on the prospect of doing them early to get a refund earlier. Mm. But if I'm being honest, I don't do mine early, so I guess I'm half empty. Does that work?
Yeah, my cup is has flipped over, fell, crashed. It's completely empty. It's incapable of holding any liquid on doing my taxes early. I have never done my taxes early. I always procrastinate. The only reason why I did them last week is because I got confused about the deadline and thought it was this Monday instead of whatever it actually is. So, no, I never do them early, and I wish that I were a person who did. I respect those
classic
people.
On-brand for you, Sir Bree, is to just not, to wait until the absolute last minute. But I think you're going to do a good job with them, though. You'll wait until the last minute, but then they'll be done, perfection.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you half full or half empty on a growing number of camps, startups, and media on cryptocurrency for kids?
Yeah. I'm half full on introducing children to gambling. let's throw in liquor and cigarettes too while we're at it. I think it's great for kids to have exposure to financial knowledge in general. But okay, crypto, okay.
I just was not expecting that.
Crypto's great. I have
crypto.
That's amazing. What about you?
I think I need a camp for crypto because I don't have any and I don't know if I should get any. And I'm just picturing myself kind of showing up to crypto summer camp along with a bunch of these kids. And being like, explain crypto to me. I have to use that voice, obviously. I say half full, I guess. I think it's good for them to learn about it, just like it's good for them to learn about coding and all other sorts of things. But it depends who their teacher is, right? Because it's what are you learning about it? I mean, I was just thinking this actually around taxes. I would be super full all the way full on a summer camp that teaches children how to do their taxes. Why do we not teach people to do this? Why does it have to come down to TurboTax? I am such an evangelist for doing your taxes yourself if you can. And we don't learn it in school. I took home ec and I learned how to make monkey bread and like a tiny little bookworm out of felt and how to sew on a button. And I don't need, nobody taught me how to do my taxes until I was an adult. My mom taught me. Anyway, so does that answer your question?
Yeah, everybody's doing everybody's doing just great.
Okay.
According to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the U.S. over the past 2 years. Are you half full or half empty?
Can we phone a friend on this one? What is that pickleball, the same game?
It's where you... So I don't actually know exactly. I know it's played with like a combo of like ping pong paddles or... It's a mishmash of a bunch of different sports, and it was invented in Washington State. And it's called pickleball because in Crewe, there's the pickle boat that is the crew of the pickle boat, which I don't know what purpose the pickle boat serves, but that boat's crew is made from a bunch of other crews, like leftovers. And so they call it the pickle boat. I don't know why that is the case. But anyway, so they call it pickleball because similarly, it's made up of a bunch of different random leftovers from other sports. No, I am half full on people having fun. So that's great. I look forward to the pickle nationals someday.
I'm half full on people. Yeah, exactly. On people finding joy wherever they can. So, yeah, that sounds great. And now I know what pickleball is. Thank you, Sabri Benishore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if it's played with ping pong paddles. We should fact check.
You made that up. Okay, that was all a lie for you. I'll erase it from my memory.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure that it is. But yeah.
Okay, before we make anything else up about games, are you half full or half empty on a Spirit Halloween Store film that is apparently in the works?
What? What's that about? How do you make a film about that? Is it like... Well, haven't they made films from really ridiculous things before that there was like no... basis for? I'm forgetting exactly what it was, but there was no story behind it. Was it the Battleship film, like a based on
Battleship Bingo or whatever that game is,
or the board game? Drew, do we know anything about this film? Like, what is the plot?
I have a log line here. When a new Spirit Halloween Store appears in a deserted strip mall, three middle school friends who think they've outgrown trick-or-treating make a dare to spend the night locked inside.
Okay, I'm going to be half empty on this one. I wish them the best of luck, though.
I actually love it. I really love Halloween. So I kind of want to, as soon as you described that, I was like, I want to see that. Yeah, I like adventures. I like a caper. I like anything where someone is trapped somewhere, not in a scary way, but in a in a sort of like what was the remember that book, The Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler? No? Okay.
No,
that was a good book. Or write like somebody saying in the live stream, Night at the Museum kind of vibe, or I love anything like that.
Oh yeah.
If there are
okay
adventures to be had. So good luck to them. I hope it's good. I'm half full.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Every Wednesday through May 4th, Krispy Kreme is going to offer a dozen glazed donuts for the price of a gallon of gas that week. Are you half full or half empty?
What month that happening?
This month.
Okay. I got to do a little math here. The price of a gallon of gas that week. What's the price of a gallon of gas right now? And what's the price of a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts in general?
According to this article, right now it's $4.11 for a gallon of gas.
And a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts generally costs...
A dozen is $11.39, according to a random site on Google.
So that's a steal.
Journalistic integrity. Yeah, I guess it is a steal. Yeah.
So, let's get it then.
Because they wouldn't have a promotion where they're going to charge more for their donuts.
Right.
That would not work.
But that would be... But that could be the gamble, right? Like if they have to sort of their money back. So like some weeks it's like slightly more, some weeks it's slightly less. But actually it's not at all. They're just giving them away. Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
What is their secret plan here? Is it it's marketing. It's marketing.
Yeah,
What that is.
It's pretty clever. Pretty clever marketing. I'll give them that.
I do like Krispy Kreme donuts. They're especially when you heat them up in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably eat like 12 of those in one sitting.
Is this a half full?
That's a half full.
Yeah, I'll give it a half full.
That's a full glass of milk on that one. All right. How did we do, Drew? Is that good?
Was not keeping score.
Well, I just mean, how did we do? Like, generally, was that the vibe? Did we play it right? Are you going to make it to the half full, half empty Olympics?
You got my vote.
Yay.
Sweet.
Okay. Well, we got Drew's vote. That is it for us today. We expect Kai to be back on Monday with Amy Scott. And next week's Tuesday deep dive will be about the economics of refugee resettlement. So lots to get into there.
Good.
Yeah.
If you have been wondering about that in particular and want to send any questions about that ahead of time, you can send us a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can also leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278, which conveniently comes out to be 508-UB-SMART. I'm sure everyone else has heard that 1,000 times.
But isn't it cute, though?
It's my first
Bridget
time saying
Bonner
it.
Bridget Bonner did that, apparently.
That's clever.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark A. Green. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by the amazing Drew Jostad, who is a big fan of ours and our playing of this game. The senior producer is Bridget Bonner.
The team behind our game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with theme music written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Donna Tam. Love her.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.